I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Welcome one, welcome all, ladies and gentlemen. That's how I start now.
I like that.
Yeah, welcome one, welcome all.
Nice.
Yeah, that positive, baby. We out here. A lot of traction in the pod. I think from the power team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Why? That was just the right. We should have talked about this earlier in the podcast.
We do that all the time. Your fan base gave me an education, too. There were a lot of people, some people that I know from back home that saw the clip on your page, chimed in and were like, Alex, you got to know what power team is.
Yeah. Like, oh, I think it was like a Southern thing.
Yeah.
And you didn't grow up in the South.
No.
Yeah. That's one of those things that, like, just that it's just like a Southern, it's like more of a culture than it is Christian. I mean, it was obviously in Christian, but people told me that they did a lot of, like, they did in schools.
Mm.
And if they did in schools, they would just do, like, don't do drugs.
Nice.
It was like the same.
Just like anywhere you say, like, do Jesus, you just say don't do drugs.
They're like, well, in church we do, like, they just said, listen to your parents and, like, run through boards. And a lot of people were like, dude, this is my uncle. Or like, everybody had a story about it. A lot of people that have shrapnel from, it was signed. Like, I have half a brick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half a brick.
Whatever, dude. Wild.
Not drugs, though.
Yeah.
Not drugs.
Big episode of the pod this week, baby.
Huge.
Huge. We were lucky enough to have Leanne Morgan in the studio.
Unreal. Yeah.
She's great, man.
She's so funny, man.
Yeah, she reminds me, like, everybody's like, it's like one of those people that have, like, you know, ever had something where, like, you know about it and, like, I can't wait to show whoever about this.
Yes.
That's like, I've known Leah Morgan for 10 years doing comedy together and stuff like that. And she's just now everybody knows her.
Yeah. I didn't realize until you guys started talking how well you know each other.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Leanne is a killer, dude. Yeah. She has a special out now on Netflix.
Yep.
She was on, did we get the sound of her daughter?
Yeah, she'll be in there in a little bit. Yeah.
A little.
Yep.
Yeah, because she was sitting on the couch and she would chime in every now and then.
Yep.
But
Good insight from the couch.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you can never hear that audio sometimes.
No, it's kind of tough to grab.
That's fine. Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should do like a mic under the pillow.
Just mic the whole room up.
Yeah. They're like, you've been mic'd in the audience.
Yeah.
You've been mic'd in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Tour dates. Where do we just got back from? We just got back from, Clear Lake, Iowa, Omaha, and Kansas City.
Nice.
Yeah, unbelievable. Wild shows. Clear Lake, Iowa's on. It was like we went to the place that where Buddy Holly
That's died. Right. Yeah.
He died after he flew away from there. There's so many cities around this country that you never go there.
Yeah.
Except for comedy is the only reason I would go to. Clear Lake, Iowa. Those are like the rich people of Iowa.
Nice.
Yeah, they were out there on the lake, bro.
Good.
Just that lake spot. Yeah.
Pack it out.
It was hot. Savannah, Georgia. We're going to this weekend, Savannah and Augusta, Georgia. Make a little southern run next weekend. After that, the end of April, Asheville, North Carolina. Oh, that's the same weekend. And then we're going to Jackson. Oh, so we're missing one on there. Athens.
Ooh.
Is the 21st.
My bad.
Not all good. Yeah, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And then May, we're going to Jacksonville, Tampa, Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. And then we're going to Colorado, Fort Collins, Grand Junction, and Boise. And then June, Louisville, Kentucky, Washington, D.C., Salt Lake City, Colorado Springs, Sacramento, Fresno, Thousand Oaks, Las Vegas. And rounding out the tour in July, San Diego, Anaheim, and the home of the Amish, Goshen, Indiana, baby.
What was your favorite part of this episode?
I always like default to like serious things. I'm a comic, obviously. We like the joke and we had a lot of good laughs.
Yeah.
But I like talking about the beginning all comics are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a handful of comics, a lot of musicians, and a musician can relate, I think, with career and being a public figure and art, but not like a comic.
Mm.
And hearing that, and we talked about going up on stage in front of 4,000 people and thinking that that's a mentally sound thing to do.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, it's weird. I go, yeah, I always have felt that.
Yeah.
But always very comfortable in it. It's nice to have another comic. But some of those stories about her childhood and growing up in East Tennessee.
Dude, and then like, and then the Morgan Wallen story,
the Morgan Wallen grew up in their same city, and he was cutting grass.
Crazy.
What'd you say? He was cutting grass.
He's mowing. He's still mowing.
Taking girls to Chipotle. Hey, dude. I mean, you got to do it. I've made that move before.
Chipotle's still the move.
Dude. I still do, bro.
Don't throw dirt on
Chipotle. This week's episode brought to you by Miracle Made, baby. The sheets of all sheets. Mm. That is definitely not in any of the copy.
Should be.
Whether you want to get more fit, be a better parent, or get more done at work, there is one thing that will help, ladies and gentlemen. That is...
better sleep.
Oh, yeah, better sleep with Miracle Made sheets. Tap into the power of self-cooling temperature regulation, which has been shown to improve sleep quality by over 20%.
Wow.
I've been on the bus sleeping a lot.
You brought them on the road?
No, I haven't. I haven't been sleeping well.
Oh.
And now I got them.
Dude, you got to take them.
But the bus, they're not normal size.
So they're not fitted to that.
No, there's like a, it's just whatever can fit into the bus, they make them all custom.
Do you think if you doubled the sheet up over it, it's double the sleep improvement?
It could be.
So like 40% better sleep if you double them?
Yeah, 40, and you're going to be twice as better of a parent.
Right. You could double your amount of kids.
Boom.
And you'd be fine.
You could. Yeah, it's not our fault if you do that. We unbelievable property. We've been talking about these sheets for forever.
Yeah.
Unbelievable self cooling properties, better sleep. Self-cleaning, you don't have to ever wash them. That's not true, but I wash them less just because they tell me that. But you probably should wash them at the same amount as anyone else washes their sheets.
Yeah.
A lot of people buy them and then they message about them.
Yeah.
They go, dude, we love the sheets. Mm-hmm. I go, I wouldn't lead you astray.
No, never.
Better for your skin also. Try MiracleMade.com/... What? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, go to trymiracle.com/netpositive. And to try Miracle Made sheets today. And also...
yeah, Mother's Day and Father's Day is right around the corner too. So it's the perfect way to give someone you love the gift of better and more luxurious sleep. I'd love that gift.
What do you think if you were single mm-hmm. and you gave to someone that was also... Would they think you want to sleep with them?
I think there's definitely a hint there. Depends on how you want to take it.
We got to follow up with them with Miracle Made to see if I gave a woman, if mm-hmm. I was single and I gave a woman sheets, mm-hmm. well, not for mother. If I gave her sheets for Valentine's Day, that would, yeah.
Do you think it matters the color of the sheets too?
What colors are there? We have gray.
Yeah, we have like a blue gray.
But that's like the stereotypical, like
they, that's like the boy sheet color. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the one I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, there's got to be other colors.
If you go like red, like super vibrant red.
And they're not, the sheets aren't velvet.
No.
They're like, there's not like a silk shirt, but it is like a...
it's like silk adjacent.
Yeah.
Material, it's like maybe to the touch.
It's like no, but it's not even an Under Armour either. That's not a good way to describe it. They're like normal sheets, but just a little bit more like rich.
Just a little richer. Yeah, that's it.
Just one step up.
And save over 40% and be sure to use our promo code NETPOSITIVE at checkout to save even more than that and get your three free towels set.
Yeah.
So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/netpositive and use the code NETPOSITIVE to claim your free three-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/netpositive to treat yourself.
Oh, treat yourself. Right after the Leanne episode ended, Leanne just walked out of the room, but she goes, this is what she said to me. Direct quote, where did you get your britches? Mm. What? Look at these, bro. These are fire.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard somebody say britches.
Where'd you get your britches? That's the name. That should be the title.
Where'd you get your britches?
Where'd you get your britches?
I like your britches, John. You have nice britches.
But if that sums up everything about Leanne Morgan.
Yeah.
Yeah. First lady of comedy. That's what I call her.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like
that. Has a Netflix special out right now called I'm Every Woman.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. And I wouldn't consider myself the target demographic for Leanne Morgan. Mm. But she's for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable. And go stream it. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the episode. Here's Leanne Morgan.
Think it was edited okay? See, you're so
no,
smart.
I like it a lot. Yeah, I like
think
it a
I
lot.
Was beat down and tired, and they go, "Do you like it, Leanne?" And they were working me like a mule, and I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah, sounds good. Put it out."
Do you really think
I like
it's
it?
Okay?
I think it's edited great. Yeah, because you came out and you said, what's up, everybody? And you welcome to the people of Lexington, which I thought was, I didn't know what a girdle was, though.
Spanx. Spanx.
Oh, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
A girdle? All right. Yeah. The Spanx.
My age, we say girdle. Like
and it like comes up to here, right? And
I know it. Spanx, I know it in the athletic.
And then
it
comes
standpoint.
To the bicycle ones.
Okay.
Yeah, well, shapewear.
Wouldn't you say that's similar to like Leanne Morgan, by the way, is on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go. We've been trying to do this for a long time.
I'm so tickled.
Oh yeah.
Leanne, can you pull that in a little bit more on
the hometown hero?
Yes, my angel.
Go. Just had a Netflix special that's still in the top 10. I looked today.
Is it in the top 10
I
today?
At it was. Yeah. Huge. Maybe it yeah. When I got into it.
Oh my darling.
That is huge.
Is that not the craziest thing?
That is unbelievable.
Thing?
Yeah. I always like my buddy Chris. There was my buddy that was came up with me in Denver. He goes, you're the one comic that – all comics are real competitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're the one comic that whenever you something good happens to you, I'm proud. That's the way how we feel about you. That's a true story. That's how we're not trying to gas
you've
you up.
You've always
on top,
lifted me up. You've always lifted me up, you angel. Well, and you know that I think you're Elvis.
Hey, well.
J-Lo, Elvis.
We've got a long way to go. Since from the, do you want to tell or should I tell how we met?
You tell it because I like to hear it from your and see your teeth while you're telling it.
From the, what's the name of that club?
Side Splitters.
Side Splitters in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Next and I to was, the Quiznos.
Yeah. And the mouse is here.
Was the Mouse's Ear over there?
I think so. Was
no,
it?
The Mouse's Ear was over on the west end.
That's the name of the club. The
yeah,
club.
Mouse's Ear. Is that mouse's not nasty? Yeah, about a little mouse's ear. That's why.
Why is it called that?
Something to do with a woman's parts. Think about it. I think
I think somebody made a joke about it. Would you have talked about that or no?
I have.
In Knoxville.
Mentioned.
Yeah, at the show.
The mouse's ear.
Well, I think what happened was because I was clean. And would you have requested a clean opener?
Yes.
You would have.
Yes.
And you said, I need somebody clean.
Yes.
Would you request a guy or no?
No. Not
wouldn't.
Probably. My manager would always say she needs somebody clean.
Somebody clean.
More.
Yeah. So I think, I was like trying to be. Just work. I probably lived in LA or Denver at the time. And I was trying to get, there was a Tampa Side Splitters.
Yeah.
And they put me with you.
Uh-huh.
And we had, who else was on it? What's his name?
Was it Trey Crowder?
I think so. That's a wild lineup.
Is that not crazy?
That's
and he had a blazer
lineup.
On?
Yeah. I think it was us three. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was, I swear every time I ever played Side Splitters, there was a grease fire. And the fire trucks would come.
It was right in the corner. The stage was right in the corner. Little
it was right
small
in the
place.
Corner. And see, they wouldn't book me in the Tampa one. That little man,
yeah.
Bobby.
He wouldn't put
his...
it down. He wouldn't put you down. He's like, you can sell okay in Knoxville, but let's keep you.
Uh-huh.
Really?
And there, and the only, when I couldn't get arrested, nobody cared.
Yeah.
They would talk him into booking me, and he usually booked me on like a football Saturday that nobody else wanted to work.
Yeah.
Or Mother's Day. I'm your Mother's Day girl.
Oh, big Mother's Day crowd. Big Mother's Day energy.
The first time he ever booked me, he did a door deal because he didn't know anything about me. And I sold out, which I only did in Knoxville. Which I only did in Knoxville. Couldn't get arrested anywhere else.
Yeah.
And he said to my manager, all those Christian people came in and drank all the Diet Coke. And I'll never have her back. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's
and I
not
said,
good. Yeah, yeah.
I go, I'm sure I have sweet belief in people, but they're just sweet and they're not going to fight in the parking lot and get drunk.
Yeah, they're drinking a lot of Diet Coke.
But anyway, you were probably,
Man, it was probably
were,
10 years ago. No, 8 years ago, maybe. Might have been 10.
And
really? We know each other that long.
And I was so tickled with you.
Yeah, I remember. Not that, but I remember, it was fun.
Oh, I had
because you were
all.
Like, do you remember what, I'll never forget this. You said to me, you go, and you were, how long have you been doing stand-up at that point?
That point, I don't know, because it's 22 years now.
That's such a long time. How long?
22 years now.
All right, so you've been in the, and you said, because I must have been, if Trey was featuring, I must have been hosting, which is wild that
you
I
was. You were featuring.
I was? All right, then it wasn't Trey then.
Yeah, you featured for me.
Okay, yeah, So, but you told me, we were out in the lobby, and I was, I feel like me and you, a lot of comics are maybe not very, like, you don't want to meet them in real life. You know, like you, like a lot of comics, you go, oh, I want to meet him. I go, no, you don't want to meet this guy. You know, like a lot of comics, they're like awkward and like nerdy kind of and just in their own, what is going on? But you were doing a meet and greet and I came out there and I go, well, I guess I'll meet everybody and I'll be hanging. And then you said, a lot of people, I see a lot of people living for me, and I wish I could tell a lot of people to quit, and you should keep doing it. That's what he told me. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. He said, you should keep doing it. Yeah, you said, I think a lot of people that are opening should quit. And I think you should keep doing it. Yeah.
And I know, and I've never wanted to squash anybody's dreams, but there's a lot of people that should quit. You know, that are getting their toes are getting cut off because they don't have health insurance. Yeah, they've got diabetes and they're like, this is my dream. And I'm like, maybe you need to.
Well, and that's why I'm coming from you.
I'm a mother.
Well, but you like. If we always say, we say this all the time, and like comedy is like, if you were working in sales at a company and you were 10 years in and never made a sale, they would be like, hey, sales is not for you. Or they would say that a year in.
Yeah.
They would say that a year in, or be like, hey, this is not, but in comedy for some reason, or I think it's maybe just art in general. You can't tell somebody to quit, I don't think.
Yeah.
But we should.
Yeah, and little Karen Mills will always say, Lynn, you can't squash people's dreams. And I'm like, I know, but, you know, that's behind not going
backs.
Anywhere.
In the Christian way, behind their backs. Yeah. Obviously, you get it. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, because my show has like, there are Christian references in my show. And then I feel like if somebody just came off the street that liked one of my football videos or Disney video, they'd be like, maybe some of them were too deep into Christianity, and they'd be like, wait, what was that one? And that's how there's a one or two in yours that are about like older women things. And I go, wait, like the girdle. I go, what is that? Or I remember your show, I was with Maggie when we watched your show at the Ryman, and there was something about a crossbody.
Crossbody pocketbook. All those women carrying those crossbody purses with a sensible wedge.
Like a...
she shows the sensible
crossbody purse.
Yeah, but like not like
because you don't want to carry and get tendonitis.
Yeah,
we have a big old pocketbook, which I do.
The purse that comes down here, that's the bigger one.
Or it crosses on your body, so you can just put your phone in it and a lipstick.
That's a crossbody.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt your neck.
Yeah.
All those women bring those to my shows, and if they are so tickled, they throw them up in the air, then I know I've got something. Yeah, throw their crossbody up in the air.
But I think it's unique that when you go, so I live right next to Zany's. And I go up there there's some shows that I'm, whether it's like religious or sexual orientation or race, that I'm not the target demo, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between like, I feel excluded versus like there's one or two. I'm like, what's this one? Like if it's an urban, super, super urban show and it's the comic is doing it right. You're like, what is that one? I didn't grow up like that, but what's that joke? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, yeah. And that's how I feel about your show. Is it you?
Did you hear me say that I've been washing the blood and I didn't, because the 80s, I did horrible, sinful things. Now I've been washed in the blood. Yeah. Do you think people are going to get that?
What do you mean people? Yeah, everybody gets that. Washed in the blood? Oh, you think that's too much of a Christian reference?
Well, I mean.
Huh.
Washed in the blood of Jesus. I should have said Jesus.
Yeah, we know. We know what that meant. If you're on the inside, you know. If you're not, don't worry about it.
Maybe they'll look it up.
Well, I didn't know what the...
it's your mission Google.
Oh, I learned. Where'd you get...
After I smoke cigarettes behind the dumpster, I hope people get from that.
Yeah.
Then everybody can be redeemed.
In the 80s, yeah.
Because, and I'm my baby sitting in here, but I did horrible things.
Well, that was before... There was a different time back then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But everybody,
I love self-esteem. Okay, but I remember you being on that stage in Side Splitters, and there was probably a grease fire, and the fire department had to come in. But,
locked in there.
But you had, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt, but your teeth and your hair and your eye, I just thought.
Did I have facial hair?
He's got it.
Yeah, I might have it, yeah.
I don't remember that. But I remember you just having it.
Yeah, well,
and I was so tickled with you and all those women. Do you remember their women and their daughters and everybody just would not leave you alone?
Because you vouched for me. You were like, this is a guy. And then I think they were all your friends or they're your people.
Probably because I couldn't sell tickets anywhere. It was probably my friends, Tammy and her daughter and everybody.
Come on down.
Christian
we love
Academy
her.
Of Knoxville.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What, back then it was just your friends? You couldn't sell on the road?
No, I mean, I sold in Knoxville, but that's the only place. And then I did the Knoxville Civic Coliseum this weekend.
A little 10, bigger.
10,000 tickets.
That's a little bigger. 10,000. That's unbelievable.
Thank you.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
That's huge.
I could only do that in Knoxville. But, I mean, they were darling, and it was
Your grandson came out.
It's where the ice bears play, so it smelled bad in the back. But all those boys. I liked
it. Who's in charge of the Who's in charge of the Instagram? Do you do it yourself?
Yeah.
Yes, you.
Well, no. I mean, so I got some people, but
yeah.
I don't know who was doing it last night. I don't know. I was in a daze.
Well, you look at your Instagram because everybody. I do the same thing with my shows. If somebody like posts a photo and like there's like seats up top that aren't full, like oh, I'm not posting that one. Nah, yeah, but they were posted. They were like, because I saw the hockey, like the walls of the rink.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, yeah. Oh, this is, I thought that was like a subtle flex, like, hey, I'm doing arenas.
Oh.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Well, I let them know.
That was the first arena I've ever done by myself. Yeah. You know, I did one with Nate.
Oh, yeah.
Tupelo.
Yeah.
And I did a couple with sweet, precious Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We did that, Brian. Yeah. Yeah.
Arenas are
different.
It's a
different
done.
In arenas. Yeah.
Yeah. This one felt good though.
Yeah,
it did not feel like.
Didn't feel like empty or like. Sometimes they feel cavernous, not empty.
Yes. But when opened for Alabama.
Yeah.
I opened for Alabama in Florence, South Carolina. It was the first time I'd ever done an arena. And that was right after COVID opened back up. And that was, they were darling. Oh. Those little men were darling.
The guys from Alabama?
Yes.
And they've been on the road for.
And the Randy 73
still doing
and
it.
Still out there and blows kisses and's got on dad jeans
and people
yummy.
Are into it.
Gosh, oh, they dude. Were
if we could only
to
anybody think we could be touring back at long, that long, you win.
I don't know if I can.
73 just out there. What do they all have there on tour bus?
Yeah.
Each
some
one of them
flying,
does?
Some ride a bus, some.
There's a lot going on back there. A
lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think once you're in a band that age and then that everybody's. Doesn't like each other, and they always have their own buses. That's what I hear.
His little wife sat there with me. She was a doll. You would have squeezed her in two. She had on a flip-flop little dress. Doesn't care what anybody thinks. Her grandkids are in 4-H, darling.
Yeah.
And they're showing cows.
How old is she?
Kelly is probably in her 60s.
Okay.
And she said, he's just like your husband. She texted me the other day. She watched my special, and she said, Randy's just like your husband. He performs and blows kisses at people and then comes home and is in a blank stare.
Not a word.
Well, doesn't tell.
Tell that. I tell that bit, and that you don't have to do the bit, but say that he doesn't. Your husband, he doesn't have any. Once he comes home, he doesn't have any energy,
any words, or any. I mean, because he talks all day on the phone and has meetings and has to work and make a living for us.
Yeah.
But then, and I say, and it is a scientific fact that men have so many words they use in a day, and women have like three times the words.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, when I was raising these children. During the week, I would try to work on the weekends if I could get booked, but I would be, you know, at home and not by myself, and I'd want to talk. And then, and after he got home, I'd want to know what he did and who he saw and
that's
what
just
he
like
eat.
My girlfriend the same. What happened? What I go? Uh-huh. Oh, I don't
and
know,
he just
show.
Goes. And then, if I say, "Well, what do you want to drink with your meal?
Yeah.
Like, do you want a ginger ale or a?" He does not answer me, and it. Makes me, I mean, crazy. Nah, yeah, I wish somebody would ask me what I want to drink.
Yeah.
Lord, I'd be thrilled.
Well, I think, don't you think that's why, because I think that's why people love your comedy, because it those things, I sometimes get there in my act, not all the time, but in a way where like, those things are, those issues of like, they are hard. And I remember Tim Hawkins, you know Tim Hawkins?
Yeah, I don't know him, but I know who you're talking about.
I went to one of his shows one time. And he started doing this bit about the CPAP machine and about how it was like a Darth Vader's like, and I'm telling you, I was sitting kind of side stage and I looked out and I saw this couple. This is almost going to make me cry. I saw this couple that they were so, she goes, he was dying. And it's on the surface, it's just a funny joke, but it's not. Because that's so, it's so heavy of like a real, it that causes people real problems in their marriage, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Or the way you communicate or the way that like with aging and sex and all these things are like, real people are really dealing with that.
Uh-huh.
And if you can help them, they'll drive 7 hours to see you. They will. And that's what I think. A lot of those things are like, it's like just silly jokes about a crossbody purse and a girdle. I was like, nah, not really. We say that all the time about comedy. It's like, you don't understand what's really going on here. If you think it's just a bunch of silly jokes, it's not. It's very therapeutic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you probably get uncomfortable when people say that to you.
Especially during the big panty tour when
all this
happened.
You saved my life. Yeah. And you're like, what?
Yeah. And my husband left me and I don't. And my, I'm going through cancer, and you got me through it.
Your husband didn't leave you. People would say,
"Oh no, he's with me."
He has no choice.
No, he doesn't want to talk to anybody else. I've often said, if something happened, and I've told my kids, if your daddy has to get another woman, y'all help him. I don't know how he would. Well, I know how he would. Me, he bought me stuff
but, back in the day.
But yes, people would say that to me, and it really
it's hard
messed
to hear.
With me. Mm-hmm. And I probably should have gotten a therapist.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to accept that. And I thought, I'm not worthy and I need to go home and clean everybody's house. And this, I don't deserve all this. And it, you know, but I'm settling in. I still have that, but I, and people say precious things to me.
Yeah. But bring you gifts and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody just brought my grandbaby a stuffed catfish and a stuffed smoky bear last night.
Nothing better, it was so darling. Yeah. Well, somebody's, we remember Daniel Tosh, because there's a lot of times, people, if somebody emailed you or messaged you and say, hey, we're driving 12 hours to come see you. I know you're a comic and I'm a comic. I'd be like, I'll come to your city. You know what I'm saying? Or I'll get your gas, right? Or I'll, that's uncomfortable. It's a heavy burden because you're like, well, I hope it's good and I hope, but they have watched you, interacted with you, and they've made that choice that would be worth it, and don't rob them of that. Like Daniel Tosh, I remember he was talking about, somebody goes, this is BS, your show tickets are $85. He goes, the show's worth $150, should be $150. Like the opposite. And that's not a confidence that I have. You're like, you want to do, when somebody looks up to you, it's very uncomfortable. Because you're like, I don't know. I'm just trying to cope. All these things, I'm guessing, are you just trying to cope with your own life?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I started this when I was a child. I'd made everything funny, you know, because there were hard things. Yes, I did. Yeah.
You make fun of your parents and stuff about how they were?
Yeah, my sister. She was always, when I'd go to basketball camp around the Gatorade thing, you know, when you're playing eight games. Yeah.
And everybody thought you were
in a gym that doesn't have air conditioning. Yes, I killed.
Yeah, you were killing.
I talked about her and how she didn't have any rhythm and at prom and
that's where
you
started.
Know stuff like that. Yeah, and people say I remember at basketball camp with you talking about you had this whole thing about your sister.
Yeah, that's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and my teachers knew it, and they would say, "Lynn, can you MC this? Nobody wants to do it." They knew I was a ham.
Yeah, and you would joke around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, yeah. So it start as long as you remember.
As long as I can remember.
Yeah.
My mom's funny, Lucille, so funny. My dad's a good storyteller.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always made fun of, or made jokes out of things. And my husband is very introverted and serious. And through our marriage at times, he has said, you can't take anything serious. Like you have to make a joke out of everything. Yeah, and it would get on his nerves. And I'd be like, I don't care. kids have had a ball.
Yeah.
We have had
the fun,
a
it's
ball.
Fun. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And who do they want to be with me? They love their daddy.
Yeah,
but they want to ride in the car with me. I don't want to ride with dad.
Yeah.
We want to ride with you, mom. You'll play Fergie, you know?
It's bananas. That's not Fergie, is it?
That's Gwen. We loved her.
Oh, yeah. We loved her.
I hate if I stepped on your water.
Not with you. But then if somebody says a swear word, is it out?
Yes.
Gone, baby.
I don't believe in that.
No swear.
Did you see me talking about the baby spell cussing on my special?
Yes.
And she's 25, and she says real cuss words, and I hate it. Nah, I tell her, don't you dare.
What age are you allowed to cuss?
Never.
Never, not around parent. Not around the parents, yeah. Well, when I was like, I would not cuss around my parents, just out of respect or something, yeah.
I still kind of don't. Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
around your parents?
For sure, yeah. Around my dad more than my mom, but yeah.
You? Yeah, well, maybe he needs it sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. Yeah. you got to.
The other children don't. They're scared to dance.
Oh, yeah, they're scared. Yeah. You're like my little sister. My little youngest sister can do whatever she wants. Yeah. This week's episode brought to you by Manscaped, baby. The best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Mm. And that's officially trademarked by them. Probably not. But their products are precision engineered. I have them. Alex has them. Mm-hmm. For your family jewels. Good way to say that. They're always trying to bounce around the actual scientific terms.
Yes.
Read the look, watch. They're always trying to bounce around. Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with their exclusive offer for you. 20% off. Free worldwide shipping. What if, you know, I looked on the charts. We're like big in like the countries that I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
We're like, they're like top on the charts in like Belarus or something like that. You always see like, are like, what, really?
We're yeah, those ones are fun. They pop up.
Shout out, email into the pod anytime.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. With the code Netscape, or it's manscaped.com.
Netscape.
Netscape. What is that? My email.
That was
my
browser. First email. Yeah, me too.
20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code NETPOSITIVE at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 14 million. Okay, well, 7 million. Okay, all right, I got the joke.
Testicles is what you're going to say.
That's a funny joke. Yeah. I dug myself into a hole there.
Good math.
Performance package is the one we have.
Yeah, the 4.0. Yeah. It's got everything. It's got that lawnmower 4.0 trimmer.
It's so strong. You think you'd have to fill it with gas.
You would think that.
Yeah, but you don't.
You don't at all. No, it's a quick charge. You're good to go.
That thing's fire.
They have the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is important.
Got a light
crop preserver, crop reviver. The list goes on. It's
Leanne actually talks about this in her special. She talks about if something happened to her husband and she had to go out and date at this age, she's like, it would take me 3 days just to get my body prepared.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah. Which if she had Manscaped, she'd be totally good to go in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So go get 20% off and free shipping with the code NETPOSITIVE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code NETPOSITIVE. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Let's go, baby. There's a lot of if there's women listening to the podcast, they're like, oh, we can't do that. Well, there's your man's birthday. If you sent this to a guy you had no, you know, feelings or weren't even interested in, he would appreciate that. Every single guy wants one of these, and it's not on the top of their list to spend money on.
Yes.
Said.
Yeah.
They go, I need one of those.
It's like when you're thinking about like, oh, what do I get so-and-so? Like, I want to get them something thoughtful, but also useful.
This is it. Yeah. Get yourself some. Manscaped.com. Promo code NETPOSITIVE. And you started, because I kind of started in my church doing the announcements with my dad around church. I was always up on the stage. And is that where the selling at the home, what is it, selling jewelry? Did people come over? That's like, it's a lot of comics have this like thing that wasn't really stand up, but it was kind of like a stage or a little bit of a, like a lot of people were in radio
I feel guilty because think about it. I was in women's living rooms that were my demographic. Think about it, how easy I had it.
You got up on the front?
In somebody's living room, we'd put out all that jewelry. I'd schlep that big jewelry case around in East Tennessee.
What's the name of what company?
Premier Designs Christian.
Yeah, really?
And they went out during the COVID. They were in business for 30 years, and they were sweet. It was sweet. Yeah. It was not a LuLaRoe kind of situation. I don't know if you've seen that documentary on Netflix. But I would put all that jewelry out.
Locally?
Yeah, in East Tennessee when I was living up in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains when Chuck had a used mobile home business.
Wait, but
before he went to work for the big company.
How would you get people there? Word of mouth?
Word of mouth, honey. Killing. No, I had one party where I sweat bullets and I was freaked out. And the company says, if you want to sell this.
Your first open mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, my first open mic was in San Antonio at the River Center at the Mall. The official one. But years earlier, so the jewelry company said, how you do this is you invite all your friends. So all my friends from Sunday school and Mom's Day Out and all that. Put out the jewelry and I made a dip and some brownies. And I did my spiel. Said, you got to come up with your spiel on how a clip earring can change the look of a pump. And I had this big spiel.
What's a pump?
A shoe.
Okay, a pump is a shoe.
And a high heel.
A pump. Okay.
And so out of the goodness of their heart, they all booked a party for me to then do with their friends. Well, then, and I probably wasn't funny that first time because I was freaked out and I had a bunch of babies.
You were the headliner. Yeah.
So then I go and do these for theirs, and then it grows and it grows.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got to where I was talking about breastfeeding and hemorrhoids, and I kind of had a set, like a good tight 15, 20.
Yeah.
And then
I had a tight 15.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then women were laughing so much that then they booked me. I was booking like a year in advance. And I remember saying, and the company noticed, and they started asking me to speak at their big things.
The big ones. Yeah. Come to the one in the arena.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this before you're going to remember this name. But okay. So one night a woman peed on a couch because she was laughing so hard. And that was a gone moment for
Nothing
me.
Better.
And I thought, I've got it. I know I can make it. And before Chuck and I married, we went out to L.A. to visit my sister. She was working out there.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to go to the comedy store. Okay. And I went to the comedy store, and my heart was beating out of my body. And I,
just a crowd member.
And Dom Herrera was there, Paul Mooney. And I thought, I'm supposed to be doing this. This is it. So anyway.
And you had never done stand-up? Not in a club or anything. Yeah, just
fast forward. I'm pregnant with my first baby.
That's wild.
I'm doing this, schlepping this jewelry around. Yeah.
Was it making money or no? You didn't care. You just wanted to be funny.
I mean, a little bit, a couple of $100 a night
but
or whatever.
If you killed, you were like,
Well, they would all book parties with me. And then I'd have more work to do. But anyway, the company noticed and asked me to speak. And you remember Dennis Swanberg, a Christian comedian?
Yeah.
Came up to me after I was supposed to be talking about how to get booked. I wasn't supposed to be doing comedy.
Get booked for the jewelry business.
Right. And I breastfed Maggie, Maggie, my middle child. Yeah. I breastfed her in the toilet at Opryland Hotel, handed her over to my mama, went up on stage, and I was talking about breastfeeding and hemorrhoids and not jewelry. And Dennis Swanberg came up to me afterwards and said, you can make it in stand-up comedy. You need to do it. He wrote me a letter. I said that on a podcast with somebody. And he wrote me a letter, and somebody got it to me in Austin when I was at Moon Tower.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm so proud of you, and thank you for saying that, and that I encouraged you. He said, that meant a lot to me. Is that not sweet?
That's how old this guy is. He wrote you a letter? And he's like, somebody get it to her. He's like, I don't know.
Like Pony Express.
He's like, somebody get it to her.
But I remember during service. I know that now that you say that.
Yeah.
All right. But I remember saying to these women, because I knew in my head, I'm going to be a stand-up and I'm going to be famous.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying to them at this jewelry show, y'all can book a party with me now or you can see me in Vegas later. It's up to y'all. I would say that to them.
That's so confident.
How arrogant is that?
That is so confident. Yeah.
But I knew it in my heart.
Gosh.
And then I had this third baby, and I couldn't be out schlepping jewelry. I was exhausted. I couldn't do that anymore.
You schlep jewelry at two kids max.
And by then, their daddy had sold his business and went to work for a big company and was doing really well. And he was giving me money to get my hair highlighted. I didn't have
That's
to schlep.
Yeah.
And so then we moved to San Antonio, and I got up and did open mic. I thought I was going to faint.
The first time.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I feel like when that happened to me, I was doing it around, like, my church, and I was hilarious at my church. And then I went to open mic, and I came in with the same confidence, and they were like, no. They were like, no. I was like, what up? And they were like, not here, bro. I was like, oh. But, how was your first open mic?
I can't even remember. I blacked out. But I can tell you that the manager who used to run a TGI Fridays came up to me and said, you don't have to do this anymore. We'll put you as an opener.
First time?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How much were you, when you were doing the jewelry stuff still, how much were you focused on selling the jewelry versus honing your act?
I was honing my act.
Yeah,
it's
a real comic.
Yeah, I was not talking about jewelry.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. Because we were supposed to be talking about, put these necklaces together and this. I didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
I was up there going, I've been up all night. And my husband didn't hear the baby in the night. And I was breastfeeding. So I took my breast milk and shot it into his Cole Haan loafer to get back at him. I mean, I was saying crazy mess. And, you know, some of my first time.
What year was this? Like, around what year was this?
Charlie Morgan, my first baby, is 29. He was born in 93.
Okay.
So this was 93, 94.
Yeah. Well, I try to say like a lot of like Steph Curry is a basketball player. He's great. And he's like, for this era, he's if he was in the 80s, he would not have been as good because it was a little bit more physical. That's what people say. And like, people don't understand, like, to say that in the 90s was like now it's like it's that's, but like when I first was like in 2009, like I made like a, as a Christian, I made like a Joel Osteen joke. Like, and it was like that was before memes and before the internet and all the nasty stuff. And I just like, as a, I'm on the team, I am a Christian, and I was roasting, and it was like, they were looking around like, is he, and people were dying. People were dying, but they were like that era was, it came at the perfect time. If I would have said that 10 years before, it's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And now it's common. People would say, or like making fun of kind of people in the faith or whatever, celebrities, but like something like that at that time, women were like, you didn't, they wouldn't, that wasn't how people spoke. And it wasn't dirty, but it was across the line.
Yeah.
And that's what comedy has to be, across the line. So you were saying that, and everybody goes, I mean, I'm sure women are falling out. They're like, oh my gosh. Well, you got to come hear this lady.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
And then as I was getting, I was coming up in San Antonio and Austin at Cap City Comedy Club. And I there was a lot of male comics around me. And I was just different from everybody. And I get up there and in a floral capri with a kitten heel and talk about somebody doing on the t-ball field. And
people were like, what?
And they were high on marijuana and everybody was drunk. But, but you know, I stood out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and the men didn't like it and they weren't nice to me, but that's all right. But anyway, everybody was so competitive.
The other comics weren't nice to you?
Mm-mm. Yeah. A couple of them were, but they were all struggling and I, you know.
Yeah.
And I was getting,
you went in one open mic and they're like, come to host. If you were an open micer and you see that, that's hard to be like, oh yeah, good for you.
And I got, it's tough. And I got a couple of things.
Go ahead of me. Yeah, I've been working for 3 years. Go ahead of me. Yeah.
And I got Nick at Night stuff. And then Austin, the comics in San Antonio wanted so bad to work at Cap City because that was one of the best clubs, you know, in the United States. It really was.
Still is.
Comedy Central. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy Central. Yeah. Well, now that Joe Rogan's got, you know, all that, I don't know. I mean, but I'm sure it still is.
Yeah.
But back then, Comedy Central, Aspen, Montreal, it was always but I would drive back and forth and do shows, and the other comics didn't get asked to. And so, they
weren't
nice
to me. You don't
really
want to brag, but you were kind of like, they're like, Liam was kind of moving through the scene, but like kind of stealthily, like, what? Then they'd look at the lineup. Back in the flyer days, you know, you see the flyer right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I was a mama with three babies, and their daddy was working all over South Texas and traveling. And so I did what I could, but I couldn't do like y'all could do every week.
Every
I couldn't
night,
do all that. I just had to do what I could. You know?
Who were like the big comics? Who were you looking up to back then?
I mean, I always was a big fan. Or you mean in general?
Yeah, like back then, who was like on top of the game?
I remember seeing Roseanne on Johnny Carson, and it blew me away.
You
that first
awesome.
Set.
Oh yeah.
And then Jay Leno and Dave, you know, all them. And then, because Lord, I'm 57. I remember Johnny Carson, people coming out.
It was like Joan Rivers.
Louis Anderson blew me away.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Joan Rivers. I just did a podcast with her daughter, Melissa, and she was darling.
Yeah.
I love all comics. You remember Kevin Meaney? I thought Kevin Meaney was so funny.
Yeah. Well, there was big because now with like Instagram and like YouTube shows and podcasts, like if you said I want to be a comic, was everybody else like, you can't, that's not a thing? Or would they say, go for it?
I think Chuck just thought, my kooky wife, go ahead, you know, make a little money
and
to buy the kids' uniforms.
Everybody's telling him that your wife is hysterical. Were they telling him that?
Yeah,
no?
And he was like, yeah. You know, he was trying to climb the corporate ladder working like a mule.
Hey, we don't
of kids
but he didn't want you to stop.
He was always good about like, whatever you want to do. And
he was supportive. Yeah, he didn't want you to.
He really was, but I don't think he understood. It's been hard for him to catch up. You and I have talked about this. But it's hard for him to even know what it's going on right now. But back then, I told him, I go, let's sell everything
and
move to LA, I know I can make it. I think I've got it. Ooh. I know I've got it. I go, I know I've got it. Let's eat off a hot plate.
Yep.
We can live in a camper. And he was like, you're crazy. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
And he was right. I was not ready. I wasn't.
At the time.
At the time.
Well, yeah, I guess everybody would take a different route, but you didn't, if you were like, if it was, I mean, how long, because you said some people should quit, or not quit, but like, you would say it took longer than you thought, or no?
No, I think,
you said come see me in Vegas. You were saying in 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know when. I just thought, it's going to hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had television deals, even with me being a mama. And like at times barely could get arrested, nobody would book me. Yeah. I would have a television deal in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and
I just had
big things that would drop on me. And I just knew I had to keep going. I mean, I had a lot of opportunity. When I say that I think some people ought to quit, you know, in this business, if you got something, things happen.
Especially now. Like, if you do something funny, you'll be on Ellen tomorrow. If you do something, like, I live in Des Moines, Iowa. No, if it was really that good, you would be on Ellen tomorrow. Or not Ellen,
but,
or whoever.
But, like, you moving up and you featuring
when somebody's got it
or got talent, things happen.
You might have to.
I'm not saying you're going to be.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Seinfeld, but if you can get booked, you get jobs.
I think maybe the third show I ever did, it was in Pueblo, Colorado at the bar is what it's called. It wasn't even have a name. And it was a comedy open mic and there's six or seven comics and I did it. And then they cheer. Everyone came up at the end and they cheered for everyone who they thought was the best. And I won. And it was like free cheese sticks or something. It was nothing. But I was like, but that was same with you. At the very beginning, things were, now it wasn't television deals at the beginning,
right.
But somebody was, I was like, any like young, in any career, I was like, is anyone like asking for this? Like, is anyone, or do people like it? Do they support it? Do you, like my, I sometimes get frustrated that all my family and everybody wants to come out to the shows and so many tickets for everybody, and I see, like, you know, my aunt plus 18 tickets or something. I'm like, but then I always go, you know, it's what's be worse is the alternative. Nobody wanted to come.
Nobody wanted to come.
And I go,
had that.
Yeah. I go, everybody's welcome. Any second cousin, third cousin, if we got room for him, if he wants to come, if people have seen it and would like to come, as long as they're doing that, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People weren't, your family didn't want to come?
My family, no. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. But like, I'm thinking of when I was in Chicago at Zany's and before that little man retired.
Yep.
And I sold 12 tickets at the third show on Saturday night and I wanted to die.
I've been there.
And he said to my manager, goes, she loved it. She wants to come back. And he goes, well, that's great. We're not having her back. You know, and that was in 2018 where I thought.
2018?
Yeah, that was probably in the beginning of 2019.
Gosh, before the pandemic.
And they booked
me, he got
me booked in Orlando, Tampa, and Chicago, and I didn't sell tickets hardly. I mean, like 60 tickets. Yeah, and they go, we love her. She doesn't get drunk and fight in the parking lot, but we're not having her back. And I thought then I'm going to go. I know I'm having a grandbaby soon. Yeah. I thought, you know, I'll just bail out of this thing. I really, it was in a low point.
Well, think of the people you started with and how many of them are still doing it. We talked about that the other day, the Zanies that go in there. There's like a wall of like, there's like right by the bathroom, there's like 16 of like Larry the Cable Guy, David Letterman, all the big ones.
Yeah.
Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld. The rest of it, none of those people are working.
Those people that are going.
yeah.
You know, or
on those headshots. Yeah. Just like, it is so... Like,
hard.
That's why I respect, I really, really respect guys like Jeff Allen and like Henry Cho that have just been like, just doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I go, dude, if you wake up and this is your dream job, stand-up comedy. If you wake up and you do that and you don't have another job, you win.
I think you boys think of that way.
You should think of like, I mean, that you win.
You win. You're right. That's a win.
You should be like, dude, we should all get on the phone together. We're like, dude, you still doing it? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, awesome. But you always look at the people above you and go, ugh, in a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's.
But I got in this thing thinking with little babies, thinking I'm going big. I'm you going big. Beginning. And I said to Mike Smardak, my concert promoter, 20 something years ago, yeah. we had a meeting. I said, I'm going big.
That's wild.
I'm going big. Or I'm not doing it. I'm going big. I always felt that way. And I met people.
I guess that's a lot. Yeah. You met a lot of like athletes or stuff like they're in, you know, they're like, I'll be in the NBA. And you're like, what kind of confidence? And then they are. But yeah, I guess you have to be like that.
You have to in this main business. If you don't,
you don't think you're the best at it, then yeah.
Well, and I'm not saying I'm the best at it.
Yeah.
I feel like, I know this sounds crazy, but I believe it. I feel like God revealed it to me when I was little.
Yeah, just like Moses, bro. They said, you are going to be a stand-up comedian. You're going to talk about
a push-up bra
to women all across this country. Yeah.
Well, I thought Hollywood It Girl, really. I'm going to be Julia Roberts.
Yeah, so that didn't make that. Yeah.
But I remember thinking, oh, that's what I'm going to do. From the time I was little, that's what I'm going to do.
Wild.
Yeah. But then you doubt yourself and I always wanted to marry and have babies. That was the number one thing. But my family was like, you got to go to college and you got to, you know, I wasn't hell bent on, I wasn't like, I want to go to, but I went and I finished and I did all that. But I was the whole time thinking, I don't need to,
the people that are now that are like, oh, what's up, Leanne? Do you resent them or no?
No.
You don't. The people that were like, oh, whatever, she's doing a little thing. And then they see you on Netflix. Hey, girl, good to see you. You're like, oh, really? Really?
I think that I didn't even tell my family back then. I mean, I don't think I spoke it. I was scared to speak it because I thought people thought I was crazy. Oh, you just had to
keep that on the inside.
I was keeping it on the inside.
Yeah.
But I went to high school with 42 people in a little country high school in Joe Burns in Robertson County. Yeah. That's 35 miles from here.
Yeah.
And
that's what you talked about in the special because I was confused by that. I go, she didn't live outside of Nashville, but you grew up there.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Okay. Yeah.
And I went there. I had a class of, there was like four or five people that were really talented, like musicians. They were in a band. And then there was a guy who went to Juilliard and has been in Nashville on ABC, what played Bucky.
Oh, yeah.
David Alford, who was one of my good friends, and his dad was our Methodist minister, and they had a dairy farm. Anyway, so talented. Yeah. And we were talking the other day because I asked him for advice if I've got an audition. Yeah. And he said, people ask me all the time, you've been on ABC, you know, how many seasons, and you're the most famous person out of Adams. He goes, no, actually, there's this woman named Leanne Morgan.
Yeah.
And she came out of nowhere. Yeah. He says, I tell people that, Leanne.
Came out of nowhere. Yeah. To them, not to you. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's sweet of him to say. Yeah.
And what were the, because I can imagine, Alex, and like a girl in high school that was like hot and also funny. I didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do.
Triple threat.
Nah, triple threat, 100%. Yeah. You were like hot and funny.
Yeah.
It's game over, dude. I really was.
I had a metabolism.
Yeah, you can say it. You can say it. Yeah, you can say it.
I was.
Yeah. Leah Morgan was, you played sports?
Yeah.
Oh, game over.
There you go.
Dude.
There it is.
That's game over. Yeah.
I played basketball and volleyball and softball. They made me play softball. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. Basketball, I didn't want a ball to hit me hard, you know? We were so rural and it was sweet, very sweet. But there was a girl on my team she was an unbelievable athlete and she had two babies while we were in high school and she played, they let her play. She'd be big pregnant going down the floor.
In what?
Basketball. They wouldn't let her play softball in the late term. Because they didn't want a ball to hit her.
Yeah.
She played volleyball. She'd come and just slam it down. Pregnant, big pregnant. And I remember us playing private schools and them in Nashville.
Private schools, Harpeth Hall, them going,
what the? And I'd be like, what are they? Mary's had two. She's always pregnant. Yeah. What are they talking
she
about?
She does this. Why are you surprised by this?
This isn't even her first go.
And then when I went to basketball camp in Waverly,
they
put us in the math room on cots and Mary told us how, somebody said, what's it like having a baby? And I was 14. I'd never been away from home. And she told us what they do to you in the hospital to prep you and all that to have a baby. That's insane. I don't know how I made it through that week. I mean, I was traumatized.
What do you mean they put you on cots?
We were on cots.
For what now?
Playing basketball camp.
Oh, okay. Oh, basketball camp. Oh, it's not camp. I thought it was like sex ed or something.
Did you say math room or bathroom?
Math room.
She's in the bathroom. That's where you sleep. Because basketball camp. I got it. Yeah,
it was like we were in war, really. And then she said, I'll show you. And she put her legs up like they were in stirrups and told us it was horrible.
You're 13, 14?
I was 14.
Oh, man, it's traumatizing.
And I had never been anywhere.
Yeah. Well, what's the like... I feel like your act with like, it's not deep into like Christianity, but it is in, like you talk about things like fellowship and I go, I know what that means. And if
when
you're
I play cards with Chuck and he cussed me.
Yeah. The family, what'd you say? I just wanted to have,
I just want to have a Diet Coke and fellowship.
Yeah. That's a Christian.
And be with people.
Yeah. And that's like, we had our first tour was called the Captive Thoughts Tour. Cause I wanted to be like there's a Bible verse says, take every thought captive. But if you don't know the Bible, you just think it's the captive thought. But if you know, you're like, and that's where I think a lot of people in any kind of comedy, if you grew up like that, you go, no, she's one of us because of these words. They go, no, she's talking about the things that, like, what do you talk about? Eating, making a casserole and going, and you're like, no, that's what.
Church suppers.
Yeah, that's our people. These are our people. Yeah. But it wasn't, it didn't seem very like you always were kind of around the religious people, but you weren't in.
I didn't do Christian comedy at all. No,
you would go to church on some, but yeah. It would like a little, there would be people that were like too spiritual and you just wanted to like hang out. That's what I was.
Well,
like,
I was raised precious, but Methodist. And they're sweet.
Yeah, pretty rigid. Yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
not rigid.
They're not.
It's kumbaya.
Okay. Oh, all right.
People are in Birkenstocks doing God knows what in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like nobody talked about. It
their
was
grandkids
sweet.
Are smoking weed off a vape pen now.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very
sweet.
It was about forgiveness and all that. But it wasn't. It was a lot of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But. I was raised that way. And then I went through horrible things in the 80s.
Exploratory time.
And then I had my babies. And, you know, when you have your babies, you want to be back in church and all that.
That's the thing. Well,
and I wanted my babies to be right. And they've all gone to Christian school. And I was in Max Lucado's church in San Antonio.
Yeah, you're in deep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Loved him.
Well, that's the thing about a lot of people that I felt like at my age in their 20s, 30s, that their parents were very religious. A lot of us, parents are very religious. And then you kind of, and then I was even Ernest, who is our buddy's a musician. He just had a boy. And
Ernestine.
Yeah, the cutest kid. Yeah, Ryman, his little name, Ryman. And we talking about, and we, you know, we made all the mistakes in the world, but we go, well, this kid's, we got to have some value system, right? You got to pass down, like, don't cuss at the dinner table. Like, why not? Well,
I bet Hardy will do the same thing.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I bet Morgan Wallen will.
Of course he will. Yeah,
Morgan
Wallen's
got the Holy Spirit.
We,
I said to him, we talked, and because I've known him for years.
Should we tell the Maggie story or no?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, is she going to be embarrassed? Oh, yeah. All right, you tell it.
Well, little Morgan Wallen, that angel. I was in Dancing with the Stars and got a hernia. And all right, at ECC Children's Hospital.
Hey,
Knoxville.
Hey, don't talk it down. Okay, Dancing with the Stars, Knoxville is still a big deal.
It was for Children's Hospital. Yeah. It was stressful. It was so stressful. I had to beg for money during the day and then dance at night.
Sponsorships, yep.
And I got a hernia. It came out. Yep. But couldn't push it back in. And so I had to get my girls to dance for me. But anyway, I mean, and I came out in a wheelchair to Proud Mary, keep on turning. But anyway, Morgan Wallen had been on The Voice. I didn't even watch The Voice. I didn't even know. And then the next year.
Not The Voice Knoxville. The Voice Voice.
The Voice Voice.
The Big Voice. Okay, yeah, and yeah. What year was this?
Lord, you were how?
2012. Okay, yeah.
Okay, and so was it the year after they asked me to judge, or was it 2 or 3 years after they asked me to judge? I know I judged him. Okay, and Kane, the big wrestler, who's our mayor.
Morgan Wallen and Kane. Kane's the mayor?
And his waist is this big. Oh, he's got to be 6'7". It's unbelievable. Wow. Oh, all right, anyway, year or two after, they said, can you come back and judge? And okay. I went, okay. And you know who I judge with? You know the guy that's in every movie? It's a character actor, and he was in Blindside. Is that what Blindside? Like, and he's the redneck and the
yeah, I don't
bang,
know what you're talking about, but yeah, I can see his
he's
face.
From Maryville, Tennessee, and he judged with me. Anyway.
Okay.
So little Morgan Wallen danced, and I
danced?
Danced in Dancing with the Stars in Knoxville.
Oh, okay. I got it. I danced with the Stars. Okay. Yep.
But was it, did I perform with him at the local thing in Knoxville the year before that? Because I think I did. Okay. Back. Sorry, y'all. I can't think of time.
I'm into it. Yeah.
All right. Halloran and Phil are two radio guys in Knoxville that I love and have been so good to me. Well, they had this thing and they give money away, but they have a show and people come from Pigeon Forge and do magic and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. One year they had Chris Blue. He had won The Voice. He came in with sunglasses on like Michael Jackson, dancers, all that. And I was sitting in the back. They always got me to do 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and I would sit back there and eat cheese. Anyway, the next year, Morgan Wallen is in it with me. And little Morgan Wallen was, I think, still mowing. Like still mowing. Uh-huh.
He had mowing equipment.
Yes. And we were sitting back there and I was eating cheese again. And he was, and we were talking and he was so sweet. And he said, yeah, I mean, I'm mowing and I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think he had started going back and forth to Nashville yet. And I remember thinking.
This was not that long ago. I mean, this was 5 years ago.
Would it have been more than that? I don't know.
About 10 years ago.
Well, okay, he asked Matt. He started following me on Instagram, and he saw Maggie. Hey,
Morgan Wallen started following you on Instagram after that night.
Yeah, I mean, he probably had 500 people, and I probably had 200 people. Anyway, yes. And I remember he sang, and I thought he was so cute and darling. He was so cute backstage, and I said, I want to make you a casserole, and you're an angel. And all of that. And I thought, what a cute kid. And then I thought, oh, this music business. And, you know, I'm kind of cynical. I thought, honey, don't waste
Morgan
your
Wallen
time.
To quit.
In this.
You should quit. You go, hey, it's
yeah, you don't want to get up in that and all that. And then he and Maggie went on a couple of days. He
your
asked
daughter.
Maggie out. I'm a middle child.
How did that happen? Do you remember?
I guess he direct messaged her. When he started following me, he saw her. Yeah. He direct messaged her.
He's like, hey, I just did a show with your mom.
Yeah, I did a show with your mama.
And,
but I was, I could not get arrested. Nobody cared. I was over there doing 10 minutes. So anyway, we met that time. And then I judged him in the Dancing with the Stars. And I love Children's Hospital, but I thought, oh, Lord, things are not going well for him. Because I've been here. I've been here. I've got a hernia. I had, you know, it was a big deal for me to get
I'm
to dance, that. And I just thought, I've been in that Knoxville where you just, you know, and I thought,
bless
his
hometown.
Heart.
You just kind of,
Yeah. And then next thing I know.
Did him and Maggie not work out at that point? Or was that still going? Hey, Maggie, this guy is not.
No, it was no.
We loved him.
Well, I never even saw him. They would meet for coffee or something. It wasn't a big.
Chipotle. If you can't hear that, she just said they would go to the Chipotle on the Strip. Let's
go. In Knoxville.
I make that move before. I made that move before. I respect that.
Yeah,
respect
Maggie was at UT.
Maggie was at UT. Okay.
And she thought he was darling, but I think he had a lot of girlfriends over in Powell, where he's from,
over in
and
what?
They were. Powell.
What is that? How do you spell it?
Gibbs. He went to Gibbs High School. Powell. P-O-W-E-L-L. Which
is Powell. Okay. Yeah.
Powell. Which has got beautiful girls, but they're dramatic. And I think somebody was maybe keying his car. And I mean, you know, my kids, Maggie was like, that's a lot. And I don't know.
Oh, they key your car.
You know, girls fighting in a yard. My kids don't fight in the yard.
No, we don't. Not in the house.
But anyway.
Oh, keep them in the house fighting.
But so Maggie thought he was darling and all that. But anyway, that just kind of fizzled.
And then
I would see something that Morgan was doing, like had written a Jason Aldean song or something. I was like, oh my gosh. I felt good for him because I thought, oh my gosh, he's legit. He's not going to just be singing like watermelon, you know, an alligator on the street and a beer in a truck and all that.
I think that's one of his hits.
That's a good one. Yeah.
He has 30 songs on his album. That's got to be it.
And I'm not blowing smoke up that little thing's butt, but there's something different about him.
Yep.
There is. I mean, of course, now he's blown up and he's like Elvis, but I thought it's different.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like everybody.
Yep.
And then when he was writing for people, I thought that little thing's going to make it.
Yeah.
And then
this.
So He just made a video.
I would say he's made it. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But he made a video for me. A little girl was going through chemo at Children's Hospital, and he made a video. She was a big fan.
Yeah.
And it was sweet.
Yeah.
And he was sweet about it, and we talked back and forth, and we I said, I'm exhausted, and I don't even do what all you do. And he goes, I'm physically okay.
Yeah.
Mentally, I mean, it's a lot, you know, pressure. And I go, I'm messed up mentally and physically. But then I think, physically, I'm flying commercial. He's probably on a private jet. Oh, yeah. People are holding him and taking him up the thing, and I'm lugging my own luggage. Yeah.
And the girls, they're somebody's protecting him from the Powell girls. You know, they I'm sure somebody, not the Powell girls. Yeah, they got their locations on. They know when the Powell girls are around. Yeah.
But he's a doll.
Well, that's the thing about you would say yourself, me, and you talk about Morgan and like the comics, Derek Stroop and Caleb Elliott that come with me. I saw them and I go, yeah, he's got it. I go, yeah, you got it. You know, and you can figure out the road, and you can figure out the crowd. My crowd's different than other people's crowds. And I go, yeah. I think I saw Derek at the Denver. He was working in Denver. And I go, he did 10 minutes in front of me. And I was like, we're going to Salt Lake next weekend. And he goes, we've been on the road ever since.
Caleb tells me he is so funny.
Yeah. Caleb tells you Derek is funny.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are killers.
And yeah, he said, unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of things.
And then you go right up and you're able to, you know, well.
Oh, yeah.
But that must be a good show, you know?
Oh, it's a good show. Caleb is darling. Caleb's knockout, and he's knockout up top. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knocks him out up top. It's a great show. Yeah. But it does take have you ever thought, like, that arena yesterday, do you not look out and you see, and you go, to go up, to walk up these steps and to entertain these people for an hour with just my words, I am mentally ill. I think that.
I do too. What am I doing?
Yeah. I said mentally ill is maybe the wrong word, but you go, what kind of irrational thought?
We're either the strongest or the weakest.
It's got to be. I don't know which. I don't know either.
But because there's many a time where I think, why am I putting myself in there? When everybody else is out here with a crossbody purse on and a sensible wedge, you know, and a glass of wine, they're ready to have a good time.
Yeah,
I'm the one that's got to go out here and do.
I'm this guy. Yeah. But to think all these, like I would see, I remember like in the green rooms where like, and you could see like the line. And I go, I can't look at this. This is these people are waiting for me. And I'm trying to, I like lost a sock. I can't figure out where my hair gel is. You know what I'm saying? Or like, it's overwhelming. But they go, 6,000 people, 7,000 people in there. And you go, I got this. It's wild. Most people's biggest fear is speaking in public.
I know.
And adding comedy on top of that is 10x, because if it doesn't go good, everybody knows, right? Like a music doesn't go good, you're like, oh, I think it was a good show. If comedy doesn't good, you know.
Yeah.
Were you ever bombing?
Ever in my life?
Yeah.
Doing that? Oh yeah.
Like when?
Well,
when they didn't know, you just got booked to the wrong spot.
Right. Yeah, man that made carpet fiber in Dalton, Georgia.
Wait, what?
Men that make carpet fiber in Dalton, Georgia.
You did
and I got
Christmas
hired
party
to do
something?
It. Or something. And it was a lot of little Japanese men too. And they couldn't speak English. That came over, I guess, to sell carpet. And James Gregory had been there the year before.
Killed. Of course he did, yeah.
And then I
there's
got
always
there.
A classic, we had last year and everybody hadn't stopped talking about him. I go, oh, great. Yeah.
I remember thinking, somebody shoot me while I'm up here. Just somebody shoot me. It was awful. I went through my act in like 10 minutes. I mean, it was horrible. I was pulling stuff out of my butthole.
Yeah. And then you
It was
know.
Terrible. And I thought, well, I'm not doing this anymore. Oh, and there was another one where I was so desperate to get, when I came back from Texas and moved to Knoxville and I couldn't get booked and all that. And I get, maybe I'd just gotten the, or at, before the Southern Fried Chick tour. Because that was a big boost for me.
That was what, okay. Yeah,
and I stayed busy all the time. But. Yeah. I remember a woman walking my little dachshund, and a woman called from Pigeon Forge and said, we own cabins in Pigeon Forge, and we would like for you to do our Christmas party. And she said, we'll give you a free cabin for a week. And I thought, oh, I can take my kids and my mom and daddy.
Say less. Yeah, yeah.
And she said, do you speak Spanish? And I said, no, I do not. But I just moved back from San Antonio. I know every Hispanic comic in the United States, and I can get you Christian, filthy. What do you know?
I got
clean,
you.
I got you.
You. Yeah, yeah.
She goes, no, no, no. These people need to learn how to speak English anyway. And I
should have
known.
Red flag.
A horrible feeling came over me, but then I thought, oh, we'll have a cabin for free, and I'm not getting any work, and I can take my little mom and daddy, and there'll be a hot tub. And I went and did that Christmas party, and there were Guatemalan people who were precious that cleaned the cabins, and it'd be like a little Guatemalan girl holding a baby in the back.
My.
She did not know what I was saying.
No idea.
There was like five white people that ran the cabins, and then all the little people that worked with them, and it was excruciating. It was horrible.
Oh my.
They didn't know a word I was saying. And I told them, and they got everybody a Cornish hen,
I don't know what that is.
A little chicken for the meal for their Christmas. Anyway, I said, next time, get up somebody to play the guitar.
This is a commitment. Comedy, because if you, like Brian Regan's told stories about how you're 10 minutes in and you're contracted for an hour and they go, it's not going good. And you go, this is not going good. And the booker goes, this is not going good. And the bar staff goes, this is not, but you can't.
You got to get through that.
Yeah, you can't end it. You got to keep going.
That was also me at the Williamson County Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Here, they hired me, and they were precious people, and they put me in where they do the tractor pulls, and it was huge. And they go, there was like 40 people in this big thing, and they go, we're sorry that you don't have a bigger bunch of people, but there's a hog birthing out on the thing, and everybody wants to see that hog.
How do you compete with that?
I'm not kidding.
How do you compete with that?
And so I got up there, and it was just like speaking into silence because it was this huge thing.
Oh,
and so, and then somebody filmed it and put it on YouTube. And it sounds like I'm just sitting there in a denim top with a skirt on. It was awful. And my manager at the time said, please take that down. Please take that down.
Somebody got to take
that
down.
She can't. You're going to ruin her.
The manager messaged
please take that. Yeah. Because it sounded like I was just standing somewhere talking to myself. It was horrible.
Gosh. Every comic will have 100 of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I told, we used to go around the South at the Comedy Zones. But like, it was me and Mike Goodwin in a Ford Focus. And I was the headliner. I was probably getting paid $125 maybe. And he was getting like 60 or something like that. But I said, and Judah Smith is the pastor that I follow a little bit. And he said, he has this big church in LA now, and all these celebrities come, and Justin Bieber comes to his church and all this.
Is that,
stuff.
Oh, that that's who, true. That's yep. who that is.
And he said, I started being a youth pastor. I just like to explain the scriptures to people, and I like to preach. And he's like, and now it's all very successful. And he goes, arguably, I enjoyed it more back then. And me and Mike Goodwin, we were having a blast. Like those shows, it sounds terrible, but I don't look back at those things as like, there were some weird nights, I was having a blast. And now there's agents and managers, and selling tickets is so stressful. Like, look at Wendy.
You know ideas because I've called you and I'll say, what about so-and-so? Yeah. And you'll say, are you honestly comparing yourself to?
Blake? Well, when I get the ticket counts on Tuesday afternoon, that's it for my management. Because they get them every day. And what we know, when we make an announcement and tickets go in and we have 50 venues on sale at a time or whatever. When do you get them?
You know, I'm going to organize. I get them about once a week.
You do?
Once a week, yeah. And I'll look. I'll comb through.
And who sends them to them? Nick? AJ?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I'm about to go and we have a fun concert or dinner, I go, I'm going to look at this. I'm not looking at this now. Because it could ruin it, you know? But that's how comics are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're at the top. That's what's wild is you still go. And I know of comics that have kind of, they once you cross over to selling tickets, they go, well, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too, to look at a weekend. I mean, now they're full now, and they have been since 2018 probably, but to look at a weekend, I mean, we got canceled at the Chicago Zanies too. We had 6 tickets sold. I was hosting for Jay Pharoah all weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday was mine. And they were hoping that everybody's going to see me and then come. And they called me on Saturday afternoon. They go, we have 6 tickets sold. That's a dark day, man.
Did you used to look at them more? Or was it always you were just only wanted to see them once a week?
I used to look at them more. Yeah. But it was such a roller coaster, if it's good or bad. And I would kind of get hints of, like, if somebody says, like, what? So, or like somebody goes, hey, I'm on the seating chart and I can't find any. I go, yeah. Or when they message and say, we want to add one. You're like, okay, I guess it's, yeah. They go, hey, we want to add a show in Louisville. I go, okay, so the first one must be, yeah.
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 That's a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
When they want to add a show.
Yeah. But we, y'all,
but
yeah,
you know,
the
Big Panty Tour, my first big hoopla, I'd call you and be hysterical. I mean, yeah, I was worried out of my mind.
Was that the first time selling tickets?
Yeah.
For like my heart. Yeah.
Well, I would do when this popped for me in 2019 and then 2024, the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
I was doing like one-nighters in clubs and selling out.
Yeah.
But not it was even just
weekends,
like one night.
Not even weekends?
A few, but yeah. But it wasn't long that happened.
Yeah.
And then I got the Big Panty Tour.
Yeah. Who from? Yeah. And then you just.
And I tell you, it was Brian Dorfman. Brian Dorfman said, we got to do it.
We both owe our careers to that guy. Well, the funny thing about mine is we had we go matinee shows before we go late shows.
Oh, wait, I do.
You do too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
Ryan told me to.
And so to me too. With a normal comic, if you do a theater, you do 7 o'clock and then you do a 9:30, right? So you do 7 to 8:30 and then you 9:30. And I could never, even the clubs, I go, if it's a starts after nine, my crowd is like, they're mostly young married couples that they got a babysitter. Most of them have a babysitter. And it's their night out or whatever. And I go, if you put me on a 9:30 show, it will not sell. But if you put a 5 o'clock show, sold out.
Uh-huh.
And we had a conflict or something in Memphis. And then they go, we had a 9:30 show. And I go, all right. And the shows are always fun once you get up to them, but you look at that, you know, 2,500 seater and you have like, you know, 800 seats sold. You go, oh my gosh. But that's still so many tickets.
Tom Pompa just messaged me and said, they want to add an early show for me. And that's goes, and that's so weird. Do you think I should? And I went, yeah, I think you should.
Yeah.
He goes, well, it makes me feel uncool. I go, I am telling you were going to sell out.
Cool. Yeah.
You were going to sell out and they're going to be the best shows you've ever done.
Oh, yeah. And I bet he said, yeah, we said, they go, Cleveland, Mississippi, we're down there. It's like because of you.
Did you love them?
Yeah, you told me to do that show.
Did you love them?
I loved them. It was there unbelievable.
I know. They're
and
normal.
I'm going to Hattiesburg.
Delta State, Fighting Okra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We made a bunch of jokes about that.
Fighting Okra. I want my grandbaby to get a t-shirt so bad it's like a little okra doing that. They were out of them.
Yeah.
I had one of my best friends that I went to college with. She went to Cleveland State.
And yeah.
She was a Fighting Okra.
Wow, that is unbelievable. Yeah. Well, they go, how were they? I go, if they buy tickets, they're my friends. That's how they were. Yeah, they were awesome.
Darling.
Yeah, what do you mean? How was
and
the
I tell
show?
You where else you're going to have a ball.
Where's that?
Hattiesburg.
Oh, yeah, we're going down there.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah, bro. Well, that's this. Don't
they
you say,
are wonderful.
I think we talked about this before, and I think the. Like, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld that said, you have to love those people. The people that are, you have to have a deep love for them, right? So if like, that'll make you write more, that'll make you prepare more, that'll make you look at the local, what's to give something. You have to, like, when the comics were like, yeah, dude, a couple people were offended at my show and they left and I was like proud of it. I go, I've never heard of someone leaving my show. I mean, very rarely. But I would want to call and be like, I'm so sorry. I mean, really.
It's because you've got the Holy Spirit.
Am I?
You know, Josh Wolf said to me, sweet Josh Wolf said to me, I was going through Kroger.
Yeah.
through the aisle where the packets where you can make a meatloaf, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was looking through that, and he said, you know what, Lynn? You need, because he, you know, had this huge success on Chelsea Handler and all that. And he just said, you know, I want to congratulate you. And he said, and I want you to take my advice, enjoy it, don't sit and worry about what's coming. He goes, don't worry about that. He goes, advice. I wish I had enjoyed it more. And he said, and also this, remember, you're somebody's George Strait. You're somebody's George Strait. Somebody has bought a ticket, made that money. Worked, gotten a babysitter, made plans. You're somebody George Strait, and you need to remember that. And I think that's a
That's a great piece of advice. Yeah, you might not be everybody, but some people. If somebody goes, "Hey, we've seen all your stuff, we love your stuff, and we're driving, we made a weekend out of it." You hear that a lot. We are flying to Houston because you aren't coming to our cities. We're coming down. Oh my God, my goodness! And if you don't, I know. I think a lot. If you don't carry that burden a little bit to be like, I'm going to give them. I mean, Garth Brooks famously says that at his shows. He goes, hey, I know what it takes to spend $40 a piece to come out here, and you got, and you traveled, and I'm going to give you the best 2.5 hours of your life, or whatever he says. Like, I respect their, because there's so much, there's too much like stuff going on in the world. Like, it's too many things to go to that if you go to somebody's show, that you would want them to respect your investment that you like. And I see, I mean, open mic's different, but I see like a comic reading out of like a book or something like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, the notes. Yeah. You do it?
What?
Bring the notes up?
I have lately for this tour, and Brian Dorfman said to me, because he came last night, Nick News 4-0.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes,
the big boss
is he goes, you don't even look at it. And I go, I guess I'm just, it's so like new to me, this hour.
Like a crutch.
I worked it out in January, and I've never had to turn material around that quick. So I just, it's kind of, I guess it's like a superstitious thing to me right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I do, like, I'll just, because I, you know, Big Penny was 18 months.
Yeah.
This is all new. I had to turn this thing around. It was,
and before that, it was your, like, my first special was 10 years.
10 years.
And then the second one was 3. And the third one was 1. And now it's like, which is a lot fast, but
very fast.
Yeah. Liam, when did you, we talked about like the come up and how confident you were and everything. When did you get to a point where the reality surpassed the expectation? Like, did it ever, has it ever gotten to a point where it's like, oh, where I'm at right now is actually bigger than I could have imagined for myself to get to?
I'd say it's now with Big Penny. And I tell you why.
It wasn't Dancing with the Stars, Knoxville?
No.
That's a big deal.
Because in my mind.
Tess doesn't think so, but it's a big deal. Yeah.
In my mind, oh, it was a sight. It's on YouTube. All right. They were practically nude, girls. It was, I put them in that position. Okay. I didn't have it. I had gotten a hernia surgery like 3 days before. Yeah. I had fever.
Oh,
I mean,
put
it was
them
awful.
Up in that to substitute for you.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to.
I was a freshman in high school. I was like, what? It was like a week before spring.
Get out there, girl. Yeah, yeah.
We all got dark spray tans, and
oh yeah, you got to do. You got to make
my
that
partner,
move.
Gay darling, loves the Miss Tennessee pageant. He teased all of our hair. I mean, we gave it everything we had. I mean, it was so stressful. Ooh. And I competed against the local news people, and they take that kind of stuff very seriously.
Oh, real serious, in the local hometown.
And they were going to rip my throat out. And I was thinking, oh, this is fun. This is for little children.
It's for charity.
They were ready to fight me in the parking lot. But the reason why I say this is the biggest for me is because in my mind, I thought I'm going to be a sitcom star.
Okay.
Because I'm 57. So I grew up watching Ray Romano, I wanted to be a sitcom star.
Yeah.
So to me, that was the big, and so I still have not reached that yet, even though, I mean, is anybody watching TV? I don't know if that's something I need to even aspire to.
Yeah.
So when I got this tour, I always wanted to be. I always loved Jim Gaffigan and I.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be with the Southern Fried Chicks, or me and little Karen Mills was trying to get out here and come up with a name. Hen Party. I mean, we were doing everything we could.
Oh, come up with your own.
Throwing up
like
against
the
wall,
yeah.
trying to.
It looks like a tour. It's not a tour, but it looks like a.
Yeah, we make a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But we were out there trying to, you know, work in these little theaters. And I remember we both would say, oh, if we could just, our audience loved, our we got fans.
We
got
to figure out and how to get these
people. And they wanted to buy tickets from us. That would be the best thing that ever happened. Yeah. And, but I never thought this big. I thought maybe I could work 300 to 500 seaters.
Yeah.
At some day in like Newport, South Carolina. You know, it's yummy and it's precious kind of, and they're darling.
Third degree market. Yeah.
And I never dreamed. I really didn't. Arenas, 3,000 seat theater. I mean, that still blows me away. I cannot believe.
Yeah. Well, what? So what?
And to have a second tour. You know, I'm like, what the?
Well, don't you think so? If these people, if it's in during COVID, right? I mean, I remember your Ryman show. So you go to that, and I think my career has been built a lot in the same way. Where you go to it, the first person it goes. Oh my goodness, my brother has to hear that, right? Or my sister, or my aunt, or my coworker, you gotta see this, right? And so everybody, if you were doing, that was one Ryman show, sold out, but that's 2,500, now you're doing however many in Nashville, 10X that, or then you go, so these people went home and go, hey, you gotta see this. And that's the difference between like if you, we don't have a big enough following to fail, like you have to rely on people to tell people. And that's when, like, you're, what's your biggest clip of all time?
Probably Def Leppard and Journey taking Chuck, and everybody had plantar fasciitis and looked sick.
That can't be the YouTube title, dude. That's a heck of a YouTube title.
Crazy thumbnail. Yeah.
I think it's called Old People in Concerts.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know. It may be about her being a cheerleader and having that whore outfit on. It might have been that one.
Yeah. The whore outfit. Yeah.
Or Mean Girls Maggie being mean when she was 16. That was a big one. Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But because so, I don't have the, I mean, I've had some that have gone viral, but not like you have.
Those are the ones that go, everybody goes, I mean, the people are, because whenever I make a piece of content, I go, who's going to share this, right? Or who's it, what, like, we made this piece about 30A, which is the...
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, and if
we go down there and it...
And 99% of people don't know what that is, but if you know what that is, you will send that to every... You're like, it's such like a small... It's not for everybody. And a lot of people are like, I live in New Jersey. What is this place? But if you know about that place, you're like... Oh my goodness. Like a lot of your stuff, which is very, you're like, if you are like that, if you live like that, you're like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was one of my favorites with you. And then that woman, when you were praying in Dillard's or wherever you were about that killed me. Cause I've gone to many a Bible study praying with women. Dillard's.
That was the title, I think. Yeah. Praying in Dillard's.
And then, but the first one that I ever saw of you and it killed me and I sent it to all my kids was about going on a mission trip.
Oh yeah, in the airport. Yeah, mm-hmm. Getting all those kids in the matching t-shirts and giving us their passports. Yeah.
Because my kids, you know, grew up in a Christian school, and we would get letters all the time about, can you support me? You know, or in a mission, or you know, when they're in Aruba.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, on a mission. Well, did you ever feel like if in with other comics or when other in LA or whatever, that these things that you talked about, people were like, hey, you gotta be less of that and just do it more generic? Or were you always like, this is who I am, and if you don't like it, that's fine?
And I do think now at my age it's so much better for me going through this at my age.
Yeah,
because if this had happened to me at 30 or 40 even. Yeah. I don't know. There's the insecurity. I would not have felt this confident, I don't think. And I mean, I still wake up and go, what the? I don't deserve. I'm not worthy. I suck.
Yeah.
But I think I would have.
A little bit more headstrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm too tired to be something else. people say this kills me. People say all the time, oh, that accent, she's faking that accent. And I think, do you really think that I've got energy? Yeah. This is who I am. Some woman said that to me on Twitter, and I usually never
comment get into back. It, baby.
But I go, oh, I'm sorry, Madeline or whatever her name was, and UK, or I don't even know where she was from. And I go, I was raised in a town of 500 people and we grew dirt fire tobacco. This is what we talk like.
I'm sorry, Madeline. Yeah, you got to throw her name in there. Yeah. I'm sorry, Madeline.
And of course, she had a bunch of signs next to her thing of peace. And I thought, you're not very peaceful. Why are you hating on me?
All the way from across the ocean, bro.
She goes, accent, eye roll. Yeah. I'm like, Lord, when I did that dry bar special, people would say, that's Fake. Not her accent. And then people would fight for me from Arkansas and all over.
I got an aunt that talks just like this. Yeah, that's what they would say. Yeah. Well,
I don't really. I mean, at this point, I'm like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I guess people, for me, you don't care. And then you go, well, somebody's saying something nasty about me on Twitter, but also I sold 5,000 tickets for tonight's show. So yes, somebody's not, one of these isn't true.
Right.
Or they both can be true. Madeline can think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever
find yourself, we've talked about this before on the pod a lot, about it, when somebody else that is a public figure, comedian or not, goes through something, either PR wise or that I always find myself defending them. Oh, I feel like always after, because you go, you don't know what that guy, you know what I'm saying? Or like you work at Staples. You have no idea to put something, to make something creative that you go, I like this, and go, here. I go, that's a different level of a person. And then for everybody to trash on them, I go, I just always find myself defending.
I do too.
You go, wow. You know, and even people like, either politically or socially, that I don't even agree with. Mm-hmm. I go, you're not going to get me on board with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, amongst comics, we say the comics we like and don't like or whatever. But yeah, you're never going to get me. I go, especially if someone's like addiction or poor choices make it so they can't do the thing that they love to do. That always makes me sad. And basketball players and athletes too. I go, I mean, he got arrested. I go,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's a bummer because he loves to play basketball, like I'm guessing, and he can't anymore.
Yeah.
That always makes me sad. Yeah.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. You think you would have got canceled if the internet was around in the 80s?
No.
They wouldn't have been like, Leanne's over here at prom. They wouldn't have been sending that.
Oh, thank the Lord that we didn't have. Yeah. I would have been an idiot.
No, there's no camera phones or nothing.
Oh, Lord. I'm so thankful.
What'd you guys go to, like,
stupid
truck parties and pull up like a country song? That's how you grew up? Everybody backed their trucks
up. Some kids
up and have a
did that.
You didn't
yeah,
do that.
In my, no, I had a high school boyfriend and I was always on dates at Mr. Getty's.
Whoa, hey, don't flex on us this early. What is that?
And walking around the Rivergate Mall, which now I think people shoot at people out there, but but back then that was a good mall and we were little country kids. Yeah, my high school boyfriend he was farming people too.
What were the stores at the mall back then? What were the popular ones?
Limited. Really? And I remember there was, what was that called? It was so, I look back on it now, it was so gross. But you could buy like gold disco pants there. My sister and I got gold disco pants and gold boots that looked like the FTD floral. When you know that little man, and we wore them, and we combed our hair big and had little glitter tops on. And I remember the man that worked there looked like a porn director, and he had like a gold
cap.
And we'd be like, he'd be, hey girls, and he would sell us his stuff, and we were like, he's so cute. Oh, he was gross.
Look at that. What?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But my sister was Austin Peay, and she's 3.5 years older
than
me.
She went to Austin Peay?
She was Simica National Calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And
on the calendar?
Homecoming Queen. Yes.
How were you roasting her? I thought you were roasting her basketball.
Yeah, she's a beauty, but she was.
She can't dance.
Or, you know, or she was, I don't know. I just made jokes about her.
Yeah.
She could twirl. She did Major Ant. She twirled fire. She's a hard worker.
Weren't all those like jokes that you were making in that time, right? Were you funny back then?
When?
During this whole time. You were cracking everybody. It was fun to be around you.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like.
So fun.
Yeah.
It still is.
It still is.
Thank you. My mama, though, I think I get this from my mama could go into a Tupperware party and like kill. And everybody just, so funny, naturally funny, fun to be around, a good friend, like a likable.
Yeah.
And I think why this is so special, what's happened for me, is people will say, I feel like you're my best friend. We could be best friends.
Yeah.
And I think God gave me that gift. I cannot do math. I mean, I got a lot of flaws. There's a lot of things wrong with me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm a good friend and I'm not a butthole.
You got both of those. Both of those you got going for you.
Yeah.
You've been a good friend to me.
Thank you. I mean, you've been a wonderful friend to me.
Yeah, same. So, I think the comic, you sit, whatever piece of material you see of them, you go, I'd get a beer with that guy. That wherever you are on that scale, that's how many tickets you sell. Mm. I really think, it shouldn't be the same, but it really is the same with presidents, kind of.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go, Barack Obama, you go, that guy seems like a... Or George Bush. And then those are on both sides.
Fun.
Well, you go, sweaty. I get a beer with that. If he was, I go, oh, what's up, bro? And I don't know, policy wise are two way different. But you go, like, I've always heard that about like Bill Clinton, where he's just the
fun.
Yeah. Just what?
You can tell he's fun.
Yeah.
He's, I think Hillary good dude. Is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure brilliant. Yeah, yeah. But I would, it'd be fun to go eat cheese sticks or something with.
Well, my show, the first time we were touring, I didn't even have any stand-up on the internet. It was the sketches. It was the video. They wasn't even, and they go, people were showing up to the show and they go, I don't even know what we're going to do. Like, I don't know, do we watch videos and he comes out and like does a Q&A? They didn't have any idea, but they go, it's like the Impractical Jokers, right?
Yeah.
They toured and I go, well, what is it? And they go, we don't know. We just like Sal and Murr and we'll go. And they're coming to our city. We like to go hang out with them. That was it. No one even knew.
They're high on that get a beer with them scale.
Very sure. High. Yeah. Yeah. Very. They go, I'd hang out with that guy. Oh, he's coming. Oh, he's coming downtown. Louisville. That's $35. You want to go?
Do you think that Bert Kreischer is that?
Off the charts.
Off the charts.
Yeah. And because he goes, and that, but he's said that. And that's why I think podcasts have been, it's been helpful to a lot of comics that are personable, because I was only putting out 2 minutes a week on the internet and you can't really, but then you go, oh, that guy, I'd hang with that guy. Yeah.
Who is it that you loved?
DeStefano.
Oh yeah.
He looks like somebody fun.
Yeah. He partied with Mr. Chris DeStefano. Yeah. Yeah. He is fun. Yeah. 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 Yeah, he kind of hangs out. He was with Dorfman last time I saw him around here. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of comics are like that you just want to, you're like, what's that guy like? He's like, he's fun.
And Bert cries.
Oh,
he's sensitive and cries.
Yeah. A lot of comics are pretty sensitive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good, for better and for worse.
Yeah, because I did his wife's podcast and I haven't done Bert's yet.
Yeah.
But Leanne said, oh, he just cries all the time.
Really?
She said, she goes, I'm like the man, he's like the woman.
Oh, yeah. I bet my girlfriend would probably say that about me. Yeah, I cry a lot.
Sweet. Yeah. My little daddy cries a lot. My mom was just like, oh.
Really?
She was at Vanderbilt and had a stroke, had a thing in her mouth. And my dad was telling every nurse, we've been in love since we were 19 and 21. I love her and we watch movies. And my mom was, that tube in her mouth was going.
Can you? That's hilarious. He's like, yeah, enough. We got it.
And I would call and say something, you know, I'd made an A on a test or whatever from UT or whatever. And I would be telling my dad and I wouldn't hear anything. I'd go, Daddy, and Mom would pick up the phone. She goes, your daddy went to the bathroom to cry. She said, what are you doing? Have you eaten supper?
I feel better about myself now. Yeah. And Chuck Morgan, not a tear from that guy. Twice.
At Charlie's wedding.
Charlie's wedding. And when the dog
maybe
died.
Maybe Puddin, when little Puddin died.
Yeah. You weren't there for their wedding, but when she walked down the aisle.
No, I'm sure he was here. He loves my mother. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. He's all business. He's all business.
He is emotional, though. Yeah. He is.
Well, I know him. Let me ask you this. Has he...
He just doesn't cry.
Has he embraced his role as you describe him? Does he try to, because my mother, sometimes I say, and she's like, it didn't happen like that. Or does he just, he goes, I understand Leanne's doing a thing and he'll just allow it.
Yeah, but he'll drink a beer and start talking about it.
Yeah, he goes, hey, enough about this bit. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But he knows that this is true. He knows that it is true.
Well, it's exaggerated, though. Yeah. That is hilarious.
I mean, he's very introvert. Like,
you got a couple beers, loosen him up a little bit.
They test all of us, our personalities. These women that are married to these men that sell mobile homes.
Yeah.
Men that sell mobile homes and are successful are very domineering, anal retentive.
You have to be.
They're married to women who are docile, fertile.
Yeah. How is that a personality trait? How's fertile a personality trait?
We all have a bunch of kids. We're willing to, you know, do what we got to do for them to get promoted, you know.
Yeah.
But he being tested, he is like the furthest you can be introverted. Okay, he does not. He thinks everybody's stupid.
Yeah.
He's very efficient. Yeah. He's very academic. He's very smart. He's been working since he was 14.
After the Ryman show, we went to that hotel. Or there was a meet and greet or something. Wasn't there on the rooftop?
Oh, the party.
And he was like, we got to wrap this up. Yeah. He's like, Yes, he was already got. He came to the show and that was enough. Yeah.
He sold t-shirts for me that night. Did he? He goes, these people are idiots. I'm selling the merch.
This guy rules. Everyone here is stupid. Everyone's
and he
an idiot.
Sold, let me tell y'all though, he sold $12,000 worth of merchandise and we donated it to East Tennessee Children's Hospital. That was his idea, not mine. I'm okay with it. But he said, these people are not going to be able to sell this. Let me do it. He put a big women's trucker hat on and got in there and sold it.
It was still on his conscience from the Dancing with Stars when you had to cancel. Same company.
I didn't cancel. I rolled out in a wheelchair and primary keep on turning. Oh, yeah.
And what's the story about the, what's the pontoon boat story? You wanted one.
I want a pontoon because my grandbaby, I don't want him to get sun damage.
You know what? Makes sense. And Brian Dorfman told you what? He said,
My husband drank two beers at the graduate hotel on the roof and said, she wants to buy a pontoon. And she just throws money. And Brian Dorfman goes, Chuck, she's going to be able to buy five pontoons.
Yeah, yes, that's an unbelievable story. Chuck. Yeah. We'll have him on the pod next week. Yeah, we'll have him. We'll interview him. We'll see his side of the story. What about the E True Hollywood story? They're going to interview him. He's going to say, well, Leanne coming up on the road, and she was, you know, we did the best we could. It's great. Bye. When did you start bringing, like, when you brought a check? And he was like, wait, what?
It was piddling money coming, and I would buy their uniforms and a haircut and stuff.
It wasn't in the bang pot. It was just kind of like this. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Leanne's play money, or you don't have to tell me about it. Even though every year he would say, I have to pay your taxes for you to do this thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I didn't keep up with anything.
Yeah. No.
I didn't do good business.
No.
I didn't have a website. Somebody I look back on it and I think, how did I keep going? I had two headshots in 20 years. Well, probably 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Who was taking the headshots?
Somebody probably in the yard, somebody's cousin.
Oh, my.
I mean, I really did not invest in myself until 2019.
Yeah. And then he saw those checks with commas in them and he's like, oh, Leanne,
when I first started selling out in comedy clubs, I would have these, I didn't have time to get the checks cashed and I had them in a backpack and he would say, you're like a drug dealer. He goes, what are you doing with all these chicks floating around in your... And I go, I'm so tired. I mean, you know, when you're doing one-nighters, I mean, it was exhausting.
Well, that's the same thing as that where you are now. I mean, but when all those checks were coming in, all the way back to the beginning at the Tupperware parties, and you were like, I never cared about the money back then, and I still don't. And I feel the same way. It's nice, but it wasn't my, like... We always do this. We're like, this is our source, or like where our worth comes from. Like it was never money, never from the beginning. I was making no money and I was thrilled. And I was like, that was always secondary. If that, to like, I got this new closer or I've been working on this new bit or whatever. We talked about that with Matt. About,
I tell you what my thing was. I mean, because I used to dream like, oh, it would be nice to have money and have that power buy a pontoon for my grandbaby, or it would be nice to not have to worry about money, of course. But it's not as important to me as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But my thing was if somebody said we want to do a deal with you for a sitcom, that was my validation.
That's where it came from.
Yeah, if somebody said we want you to be on Nick at Night, we're gonna have you on. That would set me on
fire. Tire pump, baby. Yeah, that would get. And then like some other people, they go, all I want to do is like Nate, or is a good buddy of both of ours. He's like, he's always been real high on being respected by the other comics or being the other. He wants to be like I never was in on.
I want that too. I've talked to him about that. And I said, I don't feel like I'll ever be a cool kid in the cafeteria.
Amongst the other comics.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I went to the Comedy Store and I did the Belly Room, which was fun. But they, you know, I don't know when they'll ever let me do the main room. And Mark Maron came out in the hallway and Quentin Tarantino was standing out there and I was trying to talk to them. And then, they were like, get out of the hallway. You know, they were telling me, move out of the way. Yeah. And I'm like, I've got a Netflix special.
Yeah.
They don't care.
And that's, whoever you deem to be the cool kids, that's the thing you want to fit in with. I remember Andrew Santino, I was at the Comedy Store also I was doing big rooms on the road and I was like trying to get in there. And he goes, hey, dude, there's nothing here for you. Like, you think there's this group. They're all like, dude, it's awesome to be famous and a celebrity in LA. And like, it's pretty cool that Leanne's not in our group, huh? Or like, there is no group, but we think there's a group.
We think there's a group.
Yeah, we think there's a group of like everybody that's been on the Tonight Show. They just call each other every morning. It's like, isn't it awesome to be on the Tonight Show? We're so much better than those comics that haven't. And there is no group.
Well, I've said to Tom Papa, you're one of the cool kids.
Yeah, dude.
He goes, no, I'm not.
Yeah, everyone would think they're not in the group.
Everybody thinks they're not in the group.
Yeah. And then if you go, let's say like LeBron James is the young, cool, like, and now he's my age. So now there's young basketball players that he's like, I'm not in the group, which is why, because they're like, dude, you're a god. But he's like, oh, I'm not cool. You know what I'm saying? Everybody always would feel I'm too young for the group. And then as soon as you get here, you're like, oh, I'm too old for the group. And there's But wouldn't you say that that's what made whatever that little piece of us that's missing is also made us comics?
Probably.
Or that made us want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because otherwise, if you just were like, I got friends that just live in my hometown. You still got friends that live in that town?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're fine.
Yes.
And
they're darling, and I've got my class reunion coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to be. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of what would be the best thing to.
They're all very sweet to me about all this.
They are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let me tell you this, though. This is funny. A lot of people didn't want. There's only 42 people, or probably we've had a few deaths. I don't know if anybody's in jail, but there's probably 38 or something like that. And they said, we can't get people to respond. Like, a lot of people don't want to go. We've only got like 18 to 20 people that have signed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, Leanne, really and truly, we went around your tour so that we would know you could come because we thought you'd be a draw. I said, I'm so sorry
That doesn't give it to you?
Like, yeah, but sitcoms? I didn't draw. They still not coming.
Okay, yeah, they're not coming. Dang, dang.
They don't care if I'm there.
We scheduled it around.
They scheduled it around me because they said, we'll be honest, we thought you could get people here. And I couldn't.
Yeah.
They're not coming.
They're probably in jail.
They might be. They're probably like, I don't want to see those people.
Do you look at those
people? We're going to go to the Holiday Inn.
In a conference room, see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, Alec, what would be the best possible thing to accomplish in life? Then you go back to the class reunion and you'd be like, dude, I'm on top.
Yeah.
It has to be something. It has to be fame.
Yeah, Drake talks about that. He talks about making people go through security clearances when he goes back for his reunion and everything just because he's there. Like, that's why he wants to go back. Like,
Drake said that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That sweet, sweet boy.
Sweet boy Drake, yeah. Like, if you go, It can't be, because it can't be money, right?
Right.
Because if you have $1 billion, that doesn't...
No one's going to care.
Nobody cares.
It's got to be fame.
It has to be fame.
Yeah.
To go, that's the, to go back to your high school, to be on TV, and currently the biggest TV is Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. When is it?
The 29th
this
of
month?
April. Uh-huh.
Obviously. Are you going?
Yeah.
Oh, yo.
Because I've had to miss a bunch of them being booked,
what
you know?
Year? What year is it?
Oh, I hate to tell you all this. I think it's my 40th.
40th high school.
Uh-huh.
Wow, dude. I don't think I've never been to one of mine.
I haven't either.
You haven't? Uh-uh. Were you homeschooled up until high school?
Yeah. And then I went to high school. Yeah.
A public high school?
Private, yeah.
Oh, me private.
Too. Yeah.
Because I think that darling... Andrew Stanley, and he's got that joke about they put him in public school.
Yeah, he got it. Yeah, we love Andrew. Yeah, yeah.
I love him.
Gosh. Well, that's I'd be interested to see how that goes. Let us know. Come back on the pod and let us know how it goes. Yeah.
I will.
And you're going, where are you going this weekend? You're doing the Opry?
I'm doing the Opry Wednesday night, and then I do Hiawassee, Georgia, and then three shows
the
in
Opry
Charlotte.
The Opry and then Hiawassee. Yeah, and then you're going to Charlotte. And how long is this tour? We're going to send everybody in the podcast going to be a Leanne fan by the end of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're coming out to see you.
For sure.
Yeah.
So.
And your special's on Netflix right now.
Yes, I'm Every Woman.
I'm Every Woman is on this streaming, baby. Did anybody tell you if it's doing well?
But I think
she whispered it. You see that?
I think it. She whispered it. Because I'm the only middle-aged
doesn't matter. Hey, don't talk yourself down.
Grandmama on Netflix. Down. I mean, I've hit up. You know, I'm in that lane by
but
myself.
Netflix is the only one where you don't know the analytics. Mm. Everywhere else, you can see. And
we get them in about 10 days.
They keep it close to the vest, but somebody will call you and go, hey, yeah, it's doing pretty well. Yeah, that's a good feeling. Well, we love
it
you.
Is
We're
a good
proud
feeling.
Of you.
Thank and you, my darling. Cody,
you can find her all over the internet, Leanne Morgan.
LeighAndMorgan.com. Get tickets on there. Don't go to a wonky third site.
Oh yeah, they're gonna charge you too much money. Yeah,
I saw Theo Von do that video that time, and it killed me. So funny when he goes, "Hey Ashley," or whatever her name was. I didn't make you go do that. Spend $700 on it. He went off the deep end.
This is a Theo impression.
Oh, I love him. We just saw him in Hollywood Improv.
I connected you guys.
I know you did, and he was precious.
Okay, so she texts me. She goes, "Hey." Where you say you guys are going?
Yeah.
You go, we're going. Can you set me up with Theo? Or like, and I was like, yeah.
To meet him.
Yeah. And I go, hey, Theo, Leanne's coming. And he knew who you were. I was like, Leanne's coming. She's going to, I go, just look out for it. Because if he doesn't, there's a lot of people around Theo.
Oh,
these
they
days.
Were all over him.
And if somebody says, hey, this is the person, then yeah. See, so how'd it go?
Oh, he was, first of all, we laughed until we were
He's
weak.
He's the best. We love Theo.
Oh, man. My Lord. Yeah, he was so funny. Yeah. And we died. And then he came up to them, both of my girls, and knew their names. Like, went back and said, so nice to meet you, Tess and Maggie. Yeah. And was very sweet. And said, Leon, I can help you in any way you need me to.
Gosh,
he was darling.
Yeah. That's what's just funny, because like the same with Theo and the same with Morgan. And I would feel that you go, these people publicly have maybe like no one knows that side, you know, or that side of like Morgan, that he was like so kind. And he was like, he helped your person that took a video of them were in the hospital. It's like, yeah, that's what we do that. But that never gets like, you don't want to say it about yourself because that's like, oh, I'm here at the hospital. Like you wouldn't say that about yourself, that's not the stories you hear of people. That's why it's good to hear. Yeah.
And he was precious. And people were all over him and probably girls in high heels that were willing to do God knows what. Yeah. And he still was like, Leanne. And I was like, Leo. And then Morgan Wallen, like you say, precious.
Yeah, precious. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, And then you go, I mean, because we're going to be in the, I mean, I anticipate being doing this for a living for a long time. Long time, especially in the South, and people in the city are like, if anyone ever asked me like about any, I go, yeah, he's the best. Love him. You know what I'm saying?
And I've heard Hardy's precious and Little Ernest.
He is. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't get to meet them. I did Leslie Jordan's memorial at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah,
Eddie Vedder.
Everybody was
Lucas Nelson.
Yeah.
Ernest. Ashley McBride, all of them.
Yeah.
But they brought them in a separate, but I introduced everybody. I was the host.
Yeah,
they were wonderful. But Hardy's Little Mama, Morgan reached out to me and said, Hardy's mom is a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
She wants to go to a show. And I went, what?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is what I have figured out. I've got a lot of country music mamas.
Oh, yeah.
Of nice. Stars.
Oh, Kenny they Chesney's love you. Oh, yeah.
That's is awesome. A fan. Yeah. Kenny doesn't know who I am.
That's your demographic. Yeah.
Yeah. But
whenever
but,
somebody, either you message me or I message you and say, hey, somebody, one of my people or they love you or Yuri goes, hey, they love you. They want to come. I go, yeah, send them out. Yeah, uh-huh. Of course. Yeah. Because it always makes you feel good when the person goes, my mom or my sister is obsessed with you. I go, yeah, send them out. Yeah.
If you weren't, if you didn't do this, what did you want to do? If what was your backup? I wanted to be a therapist, child family therapist. What would you have wanted to do?
I'd probably be a preacher. What?
Because I think that's sweet and that makes me want to ball my eyes out. And I think you could. But I also think that you could have gotten an MBA and you could run a corporation. I think you've got a mind for business.
CEO or the business guy. Yeah.
I think you've got a mind for business.
Well, I always said, like, the guy, whoever's in charge of Bridgestone or whatever, he doesn't know anything about the tires. He goes, these guys, and we can. That's all they do. The guy at the top is, I would know business and receipts and invoices. I don't know anything about that, but I could figure out how to make sure everybody gets along with each other.
Yeah. Well, you're very smart about and you help me when I ask you questions. Yeah, I mean, you do.
Yeah. The comics will help each other. Yeah. Which is why we're out here. Yeah. And we love you. Go out and see the special. Go out and see her on tour. The tour is, I've been to it personally many times. We can't talk about, it's a secret on Wednesday. Are you coming out? To the Ryman. Oh, this will already have happened. This podcast already happened. Are you coming? Or you're not? Yeah.
What? Oh, I am. I'm going to the Ryman in the fall.
But this one is the Zany's All Stars.
Yes. Yes. I didn't know what in the world you were talking about.
No one's allowed to say what they're on it because we're all trying to sell tickets in the town, but it'll be over by the time this comes out.
I thought you meant, am I going to be at the Ryman? I am going to be at the Ryman two times this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me. And with you and with that. And I get to be on that. I didn't know what you were talking about.
That's going to be a fire show. Nate's coming out too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Little Angela Johnson.
Is she?
Uh-huh.
Oh man, that's gonna be an unbelievable show. Too bad it's gonna. Everybody's like, "Great, John, we missed it." Yeah.
Leanne maybe Morgan. They'll have us again when everything ruins. They'll say, "Let y'all go on a big tour," and Leanne will be in a wheelchair.
We turned down a tour. Me and Leanne, we're gonna do a show in Clarksville.
Mm-hmm. And at their new thing, at that new arena thing.
I don't know if we're ready for that, but yeah, we'll get out there. We'll get on tour one of these days.
Angel, thank you for having me.
We love you. Good to see you.
I love you.
Thanks for coming by.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. It was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.